Now would be a great time for you to get your outline out, which hopefully you were handed one of them on the way in. If you are just joining us tonight, we are thrilled that you are joining us on our quest for really gold nuggets of God's wisdom. We started the new year saying we wanted this year to be a year of change, a year where we are getting better. And we know that there's no better place to look for how to change than to God himself and God's word. And we are studying the book in the Bible, often called the Book of Wisdom or the Book of Proverbs. And we've unearthed quite a bit. And it's all on the website. You can go back and watch or listen to or download to your iPod any of the messages that we've worked on so far. Because inside we have this series, we've learned to get our knowledge and to get our understanding and our wisdom, to get it from God, get it from his wise elders. We've also learned not to let our love slip, even for short outbursts. We learned that we are to value who and what God has put into our life. We have learned how to get a handle on the part of us, that dark part inside of us that nobody likes. We've also learned how to confidently believe that God is able, that God is wiser, God is good. We learned about putting God first and foremost in our life. We learned about trusting God to supply everything that we need in our life, from love to acceptance and even personal finance. We set out on an expedition to find God's gold nuggets of wisdom on how to find life to the full, and we've not come up empty. Instead, we're pulling some pretty large chunks out of the Bible, and tonight we will stick our shovel into the ground at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. I have this at the top of your outline, 11 and 12. In doing so, here's what we will uncover. He says, "My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when God corrects you. For the Lord corrects those that he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights." Now, a lot of what we have found so far in our mining expedition for wisdom has really highlighted our understanding of God and who God is. We have been looking at what God sees and what God desires to do for us. But tonight, we need to focus ourselves not so much just on the trusting on the Father that we have, but to focus on who God wants us to be. You see, this proverb is best understood and best engaged, not so much by reiterating who God is, but by instead looking at who we are. By actively and honestly assessing our actions and assessing our attitudes and assessing our response to God's leadership of us. Now, what this word discipline primarily means in this passage is really to lead, to teach, to train. And the other word in there, the word correction, that means to take something that is not right and make it right. This verse makes no qualms about it. God our Father is in a process of teaching and guiding and righting us. And in this process, we don't need to worry about God's end. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to go about doing it. Our focus then, gang, needs to be on how we are receiving and how we are accepting God's discipline and correction. The proverb says, do not reject or do not despise God's discipline. That means we shouldn't get defensive. We shouldn't say, I don't want to hear it. Instead, our first response really should have us saying this: I'm okay being wrong. Friends, before we embrace correction, we have to be able to hear what's wrong. Now, no one usually likes hearing that they are wrong. I know I don't like hearing that I'm wrong. Unless it's something I'm really not very passionate about. If it's something I really shouldn't know. For instance, me and Miss Kelly, we travel, and when we travel, we're just like everybody else. We use our phones for GPS navigation, figure out where we're going. Now, I've learned in the short time of having GPS that I do not like to look at the GPS when I'm driving. I don't even like to look at it. So Miss Kelly, she handles the map reading, and she directs me. Now, many times in this process, I will ask, well, should I turn here? And I'll hear, no, not here. Okay? I get in the left-hand lane later on, and I hear, whoa, no. Nah, stay in the right lane. Go a little further, I'll put my blinker on, I'll hear Miss Kelly say, no, not here, it's the next one. Now, throughout all this direction and all this correction, I may hear 5, 10, 15 times the word no. But it doesn't bother me. Well, it doesn't bother me because I never said I knew where I was going. I'm not a Rand McNally Atlas. I was basically just guessing anyway. Never once have I passed myself off as an expert of the roads in Cozumel, Mexico. You can tell me no if I'm taking the Jeep the wrong direction. Yeah, I'm very okay with being wrong. But change the subject matter. Change the subject matter of what I'm being corrected in, and I might not be as receptive to correction and discipline as I was with directions. Dad, you're putting way too much butter on that popcorn. I know how much butter to put on popcorn. You can't put enough butter on popcorn. All of a sudden, I'm not so okay with being wrong. You just passed the gas station. We could have gotten gas right there. Oh, really? You wanted to buy gas at the Pump and Munch. No, I don't need to buy gas at some place called the Pump and Munch. The only reason I would go in is if I needed to cash a check or buy some kind of discount liquor. And I don't need either one of those. Again, not so good at taking correction. Well, what's the problem here? I was pretty good before. I was fine driving around Mexico being wrong. But Westbridge, when the subject matter changes, when it changes to something that we think we have a handle on, when it changes to something that we value, that's when our pride rises up and we're not okay being wrong. And guess what? When God steps into our lives for what he's talking about here, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, when he steps in with correction or teaching, it's usually not dealing with you doing directions on a road. It's usually important things in our lives, things that we're passionate about, things that we're trying to protect, things that we're trying to guard. God steps up and he puts his finger on a vice that we've been trying to avoid dealing with. And God says, no, this is wrong for you. God whispers in our ears and says, that friend that you're hanging out with, you know that friend hasn't pushed you closer to Jesus. Instead, they pulled you away from him and pulled you away from the people who build you up spiritually. God touches your heart and says, that course of action, that attitude you harbored towards that person who hurt you or hurt the person you love, that's the wrong attitude for you. No, you shouldn't have it. See, Westbridge, our first response is to justify. And if our first response is to justify our attitude, if our first response is to justify our and defend ourselves and what we're doing, well, we'll totally miss the treasure that God has for us in this proverb. And when we do, we miss the freedom, and we miss that life to the full God wants to give us. But if we can humble ourselves and have childlike faith and teach our heart to have a first response that says, Lord, I'm okay with being wrong. I'm not an expert at love. Lord, I'm okay being wrong. Because I'm not an expert at relationships. I'm not an expert at finances. I'm not an expert even at life. We can say, Lord, you read that GPS. I'll drive my life forward. You tell me where I'm going wrong. And you make what's wrong right. Because I just don't know. But I'm okay being wrong. Okay, so if the first thing that we need to do is receive and welcome God's leading, the first thing we need to do to receive and welcome God's leading is to comfortably say, Lord, I'm okay being wrong. And the second thing we need to say is this, Lord, I welcome your insight. I welcome God's insight. I hunger for God's insight. Now, most people would say, Pastor Drew, that's a pretty thin point there. Everybody knows that. Lord, we all want God's insight. We all welcome God's direction and plan, Pastor Drew. You didn't say nothing there in point two. We all want that. Well, do you really? Do we really want God's truth? Do we really welcome it and adopt it as our practice? Are we willing to accept what God's road brings us? One of my favorite stories that I've heard my friend tell countless times, mostly because I always ask him to tell it everywhere we're at, is a story about when he tried out one of those internet dating sites. Yeah, he tried out internet dating sites. Now, I'll try to tell this story. He tells it better than me, and I might have the numbers a little off, but I think you'll get it anyway. He told me he was filling out his profile for the dating site, and as he was filling it out, there's a counter at the top of the screen that keeps a running total of all the ladies that he's compatible with. The possibilities of love. He says he was quite excited and hopeful as he entered that information about himself. He said, fun-loving, 10,000 matches. Sweet, yeah. Then he says, enjoy time at home, 8,800 matches. Not excited to try new things. Gotta be honest, 7,900 matches. Doing good. Love to travel. Put that in there. Boop. 7,200 matches. On and on this went. For page and page and page. Until he arrived at the end. He looked up. He had close to 3,000 possible love matches. He was excited as he approached his last characteristic. Oh, yeah. Born again, follower of Jesus Christ. Enter. There went the counter. Results. 2 possible choices. And then a little thing comes up. And it ain't all that good either. What? Where are the thousands of love opportunities? Well, God's word says this. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Do not make mismatched alliances with them, inconsistent with your faith. And do you still welcome God's insight? When God says no to something we want, do you still hunger for God's insight? When God says that we have to do something that we don't want to do, do we still desire his will and desire his way and his leadership? God's word will tell you not to borrow money that you can't pay back. It will tell you that. That's not welcome insight. When you're dying to buy something for thousands of dollars and you got zero. God's word warns us not to be mastered by anything. Don't be mastered by anything. That means there should be nothing in your life that you cannot say no to. Well, that's not a welcome insight to the one who can't stop doing what they know is wrong and they know is bad for them. But if we are going to find the incredible full life that God has for us, we will enter that characteristic on that dating site that says, I want a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. And I'll let God supply, no matter what the counter says. If we're going to find the incredible life to the full that God has for us, we will embrace God's marching orders for our life, even when they take us where we swore we'd never go. And if we're going to find the incredible full life that God has for us, we will fight battles that he puts in front of us, no matter how hard they are. And we'll do so with iron-fisted conviction. Solomon tells us in this proverb not to reject or take lightly or despise God's discipline. Don't resent, don't be upset, don't grow weary of God's insight, God's teaching, God's correction. Instead, welcome God's truth. Because like Jesus said in John 8:32, when you know the truth will set you free. So to cash in on this gold nugget of wisdom, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 through 12, we must be okay with being wrong. And we must hunger for God's insight. And then lastly, we must say this: I will turn and I will start walking immediately. Gang, remember, this proverb is about God redirecting our course. It's about us having bad directions. We're running on bad directions. It's about us receiving God's right directions. So the question is, when do you turn your car around? When do you start heading in the right direction? Now, the correct response would be, Pastor Drew, I would start immediately. Unfortunately, that's not always people's response. Many of us wait. Many of us consider. We do the math. And in that process of waiting, that gold that God has put into our hands slips right through our fingers like sand. Because waiting can be lethal. There's a story told about a man during the hard times of the 1930s. In those barren times of the Great Depression, hope was hard to come by. But this man was a dreamer. And not only a dreamer, he was a kind dreamer. He would sit on the front stoop of his apartment in Brooklyn and talk of how one day he was going to go to Fiji. He would always sit on that front stoop with an old brown leather suitcase right next to him. And on it was this old worn-out sticker that said Fiji, plastered on the side of this leather suitcase. The little kids back in the 1930s, looking like ragamuffins, would come and listen to this wayfarer talk of the exotic and amazing tropical island and how one day he was going to go there. And when he got there, he would explore that sultry paradise. One day, kids, I'm going to Fiji. He told and talked of his impending adventure throughout the Great Depression. Suitcase right at his side. He lifted people's spirits because to them, he was a great and mighty explorer, doing what most people wouldn't even dare to talk about or dream about in those days. But he sat on that stoop throughout the 30s, right on through the times of the Second World War. One day, I'm going to Fiji. The generations of kids would change, but each generation knew the man with the brown suitcase. And each generation of kids was captivated by their neighborhood adventurer. He was a staple on that Brooklyn street for decades, always affirming, one day, I'm going to Fiji. Well, on a beautiful June morning, a young paper boy noticed that the old man was not sitting on the stoop waiting for his paper as he always had been. The boy stopped and thought for a minute, and then his eyes widened. He started to get filled with excitement. Then he started shouting at the top of his lungs on that Brooklyn street. He went to Fiji. He's gone. He's done it. He went to Fiji. Well, the street started to fill with neighbors as this boy kept screaming. And people walked out the front of their building. And they walked over to the stoop. And they all joined in the fanfare and celebrated the victory, smiling and basking in the joy of their friend's long-awaited undertaking. Very quietly, the paperboy's father slipped through the front door of the old man's house and went up to his apartment. He had grown up hearing the stories too. He made his way up the stairs to the old man's apartment, and he carefully opened the door. And he noticed the brown leather suitcase was just inside the door where it always had been kept. So the man went into the house. He took a look around, and it only took one look into the bedroom for him to see the rest of the sad story. The father emerged from the building. He sat down on the stoop next to the spot where the old man had sat. His son ran up to him, still bursting with jubilation, and said, "He's in Fiji, right, Dad? He's in Fiji." The father picked his boy up and hugged him tight and quietly said, He's in Fiji." Westbridge, when God hands us a suitcase, he expects us to take it further than the front stoop, where we merely talk about it. Make promises to one day act on that. When God gives us insight, when God gives us directions, we are to start walking immediately. People may be enthralled by us telling them what we are going to do, and it may even be inspiring talking about our future change, but God's correction and God's discipline and his directions are meant to be acted upon and to put our feet to now, not tomorrow, not someday, but now. The question that we would do best asking ourselves tonight is this: what is my Fiji? What is it that God has handed me a suitcase for? What does the travel sticker say on my suitcase? What is it that God has been asking me to do? Is it an attitude that I need to lose? Is it a practice that I need to stop doing? Is it a fight that I need to give up? Is it a longing to need to hand over to Christ? Or is my Fiji a relationship that I need to start? A relationship I need to fix? A relationship I need to end? Is my Fiji a course of action I need to begin? Is it a place I need to go? Or a place I need to stay put in and be faithful? Is it a conversation that I need to have? Or is it a suffering I need to endure? Or is it a getting up and moving on from something that I've been stuck in way too long? When God instructs us to do something, there is only one way that that can lead to tragedy. Let me say it again. When God instructs us to do something, there's only one way it can lead to a tragedy, and that is to not do it. My child, do not reject the Lord's discipline. And don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those that he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. A father wants the best for his children. He wants them to smooth off the rough edges that will tear at and shred the beautiful life that he has marked out for us in his GPS. God's teaching and instruction is like a river that rolls over us, washing away the dirt and washing away the grime. And through the tumbling of our hearts in those currents of change, he's taking what is not right and he's righting it. God is smoothing us, shaping us, making us better, and making us his own. When worship leaders return, I'm going to give you this opportunity to talk to God. Maybe tonight's the first night you're okay with being wrong. Well, that's good. Talk to God about that. He has insight, he has direction, he has writing that he wants to do in our lives. Maybe even tonight. Maybe there are some rough edges that need to be smoothed off. As we close the service with one more opportunity for God to talk to us, let you know that after the service, you can come up front. I'm here to pray with you, and we have a prayer team that's here to meet with you, Mr. Jack and Miss Donna. Feel free to come up. But take this next opportunity as we let God's Spirit speak to us, to show us maybe there's a Fiji that I need to get to. Let me not let the opportunity pass away in my life. Let me immediately start tonight. Spirit of God, speak to us and help us to be brave enough to do what you say. Would you stand? Maybe you're here tonight and just need to kind of get some clarity and want to talk about something, please feel free to come up front. Myself, Miss Donna, Mr. Jack are here, and it's a good time to talk about these things now, not when it's too late. Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe as we travel the roads back home. I thank you for bringing us here tonight. I thank you that you are a Father who's perfect. You're not into punishing. You're into correcting, making things right. Get us to go where we need to go. Get us the right directions. And help us to not have hearts that do not want that, but have us have hearts that welcome it. Lord, we leave ourselves in your hands. Pray that you'd keep us strong through the weekdays. And thank you again for being with us tonight. Now, Lord, let us all go out of here being more like you, glorifying your name, and showing others there is hope in a hopeless world. In Jesus' name, amen. See you next Saturday, 7 o'clock.